I never feel like I work in this business. The only days it stinks to come to work is after a tough loss on Sunday to come in on Monday.
In this week's Know Them From Adam podcast, we are joined by the 13th general manager in Buffalo Bills history, Brandon Bean, who was introduced as the Bills GM last Tuesday. He was one of four candidates to interview for the position. He was the only candidate to be given a second interview before he was hired. He spent 19 years in the Panthers organization, climbing the ranks to the point where he became the assistant general manager and director of football operations, and now has ascended to the role of the man responsible for helping try to return the Buffalo Bills to the postseason. What's the last few days been like for you since you were named general manager of the Buffalo Bills?
Well, obviously, it's been a whirlwind. It's exciting. This is a dream come true. Born and raised in the Carolinas, and then just being so fortunate to work for the Richardsons and you know, 19 years there. You always kind of think maybe that's where you're always going to be, but was able to grow under Marty and Ron and Dave and just this opportunity when I met the Bagulas and went down and interviewed. It was so awesome to meet them and hear their passion for this city and this team. I thought it was a great place to come, Adam.
What stood out about that interview with the Pagulas, aside from that passion, Brandon?
You know, just the resources. They talked about all the things they've done and where they're going, and even just since Sean's got here, and I was able to have a conversation with Sean right before I went down, and once it was announced I was going to interview, I gave him a call and just, you know, trying to do my research, and he just said, Brandon, we don't long for anything. They've just, you know, they've opened up, and they're, you know, they really just, they want to win, and they're going to give us the resources to do it.
Yeah. So when you get the job, and this is a job clearly that at some point in your life you had to think about.
Yes.
Where were you when you got that call, and what was that like finding out that you were finally going to be a GM?
So, you know, obviously I got the call for the second interview, and I went down there on Monday at some point, back down to Florida to meet with the Pagulas. But when I got that call, I did start asking some questions what the second interview would be like and where it was. And I could tell that things were heading in the right direction. So I went down there and met with them, and we got it all worked out before I got on the plane. And it was just it was unbelievable. I still got chills running up my spine.
How come? How do you celebrate? What do you remember about that moment? I mean, that's one of the most unforgettable moments of your professional career.
You know what? I didn't really know how to celebrate. I just, like, took this deep breath, like, holy cow, this is real. And just so excited. I don't think I've come back down. I've been floating ever since I got that word.
Now, you said that you are from the Carolinas. You spent your life in the Carolinas. So what do you know about Buffalo?
Well, I know they got great people. I know it's a good football town. Obviously, everybody knows about the Buffalo weather. But it's a great town. They love this team. Adam, the last time we played here when I was in Carolina was 2015. It was either the second or third game of the year. And we lost on basically the very last play of the game, a little fade route. And I got on one of those carts because of the setup here to get from the press box back down to the locker room. So you're riding out through the fans. And the thing I remembered, I was so mad the way we lost. But I was also appreciative. These people, it looked like they had won a playoff game. I mean, it was something different. And I remembered that when I got the call about interviewing here, how passionate they were.
Well, it's been a long time since Buffalo has been in the playoffs. And I think that those fans, as passionate as they are, and they are as passionate as any fans in the NFL, they are just dying to get a taste of the postseason that you know about from your time in Carolina recently. That's what they want. They want to get back to the postseason somehow. What would your message to those fans be?
And that's what I want to do. I want to share that vision with Sean and the rest of this team. This is going to be a collaborative team deal, Adam. These people want to win. I feel bad for the city that it's been such a drought. Obviously, I wasn't here for that. There was a lot of, you know, turnover. But the Pagulas preached stability. I know they're going to give Sean and I time to learn this place and build it the way we've seen in Carolina. And Sean had success in Philly. And we know what it looks like. Now we got to hit the ground running and get going on it.
Now, Brandon, you worked with Dave Gettleman in Carolina, side by side. He was the Panthers general manager. You were the assistant general manager. But before he became the Panthers general manager, at one point, He was a scout or a front office person in Buffalo for 9 years. What did he tell you about working for that organization and living in that area?
Well, he said you're going to love it. He said, obviously, people talk about the weather. He said, what they don't tell you is how beautiful it is here in the, you know, in the spring, summer, and fall. Obviously, winter can be cold and tough, but he said the people are a lot like people in the, you know, the southern culture. He said they're very family oriented. It's a lot slower paced than, you know, New York City. And he said, you'd be surprised. Most people that live in Buffalo or come to Buffalo never leave. And that's all I've heard when I've been up here. So my family, we're so excited to be joining this community.
Now, you were an interim general manager in 2012 when Marty Herney resigned. What did you learn about being a GM in 2012?
Well, obviously, when you sit in the seat, it is different. You know, you see what the pressures are and all that. And, you know, I got a chance to deal with media. I got a chance to make the decisions on the roster. I was able to pluck a couple of guys, Mario Addison, who we since re-signed. I got him off of a practice squad that year. We had kicker troubles that year and was able to Graham Gano happened to be on the street and was able to pluck him. And we since re-signed both those guys in Carolina. So it gave me, you know, it was a 10-week deal. And it really brought me close to Ron Rivera, and I learned so much with Ron, and we developed a great relationship over the years. And Dave really, you know, he grew my scouting acumen, and it was a perfect scenario for me, really.
And when you first came into this business, it's unbelievable to think of all these people that you've had connections to and all these people you've gotten to learn under, because you entered initially, correct if I'm wrong, as a public relations intern, correct?
I did. That was a 4-week internship straight out of college, and I was home for a couple of weeks after that. It was basically a training camp, and I had basically told the powers that be that, hey, I'm really interested in football, you know, operations, you know, scouting, the whole thing. And lo and behold, a position came open about 2 weeks after camp, and that was 1998, and was able to work that season still as an intern, getting my feet wet, but I was able to touch a lot of departments, and it really just told me, hey, this is what I want to do, and this is my passion, and it worked out from there.
It's amazing to think of the start that various people get in the business, because I remember back in the day when I covered the Denver Broncos for the Denver Post, the Broncos were playing an American Bowl game in Barcelona one summer, and they got a kid out of the Air Force to watch their building for the summer. And they brought the kid in, and he cleaned the mail room. He took in all the mail, cleaned all the rooms, made sure the building was intact. They liked him enough that they kept him on in the organization. And slowly but surely, he made his way up through the ranks to where eventually he became the general manager of the Denver Broncos, Ted Sundquist, at that time. And so I hear your story as a PR guy back in the day, and it just amazes me. What would you tell the people out there? Because there are so many people who come up to me all the time and say, how can we get into football? What would you say to them about how to get into this profession that so many people would like to work in?
Well, I think it's obviously a competitive field, but if you anything you're passionate for, you got to go for it, and you got to research, you got to talk to people, ask them how you get in, how do you get experience, be prepared when you get that opportunity and show them that you're ready. And I think that's what I tried to do. You got to stay humble and you got to stay hungry and you got to love it. This is not, you know, I tell every person that I interview, whether it's an intern or full time, if you're doing this for the money, it's not going to work for you. You're not going to be happy. You got to love it. And Adam, honestly, I never feel like I work in this business. The only days it stinks to come to work is after a tough loss on Sunday to come in on Monday. But you get over it, you move on, and you get ready for next week.
Now, one of the other people, of course, you got to meet in Carolina was Sean McDermott. When did you know that he might be different, and how did you know that, Brandon?
Well, you know, Sean, the great thing about Sean is he came from a similar past to me. He was an intern in Philly, Andy Reid's right-hand man. You know, Sean's explained it to me sometimes, you know, quasi like a gopher. But that allowed him to be around Coach Reid, learn from him. And once Coach Reid saw him, what task he could handle, he upped it. And, you know, lo and behold, he's the defensive coordinator there. And I had a lot of respect for that. And Sean and I were together 6 years in Carolina, didn't know each other before that. But we would have a lot of discussions, Adam, one-on-one, in his office looking at the depth chart, obviously just the defense, but we would talk about the strengths of our defense, the weaknesses, and then the ways to fix it. Where can we acquire players at this point, you know, depending on what part of the year we were in? And just he's a great thinker. He's very methodical, and I just think we align in a lot of ways how we view things.
He also has gotten your children into wrestling. How did that happen?
So my oldest son wanted to do – he plays football, but he also had always played basketball. And I think he realized – he sat on the bench his seventh grade year, junior high, which was a big transition for him. And he realized, man, I may not be good enough in basketball. So I said, what about wrestling? And I said, Coach McDermott knows something about wrestling. And it's an aggressive sport. So lo and behold, I told Sean about it, and Sean said, bring him to my house. And so bring him over there. And Sean has this whole huge legit size wrestling mat. And so he gets up there and worked with my son for a good hour, 2 hours, and a couple times. And my son jumped into it this year, and it was a lot of fun to watch. I don't know anything about it other than what I've learned from those two, but it was very nice to show.
Why does Sean have a wrestling mat in his house?
You know what? He was a big-time wrestler in high school. And I want to say he was a state champion in Pennsylvania, but he's really good, a really good wrestler, knows all about the sport. He follows it, you know, obviously not as much as football, but I think it's his second love, and he's really good at it.
And is your son going to continue wrestling in Buffalo?
Yep, that's the plan. We're going to get up here. I told him we can see what it looks like, but hopefully Sean can work with him some more, and he can jump back in after football season.
That's great, Brandon. Now, we talked about Sean. We talked about the city of Buffalo. What do you know about the Buffalo Bills roster that you're inheriting right now?
Well, you know, somebody asked me that earlier, and the thing is I did peek at a couple of games from the end of the year before I interviewed just to get a look-see, because obviously we're in the NFC and we weren't playing the Bills. I knew their frontline guys, some of the backline guys I didn't know as well, but, you know, they got some good pieces here, Adam. I like some of the moves that Sean and the crew did in the draft. And we just got to build a solid foundation, and that's what it is. We're going to jump in, you know, after today, after the media circus, we're going to jump in and just talk about everything. Where are we weak? Where are we strong? And I want to hear what he thinks. I want to hear what Leslie Frazier thinks and Rick Dennison, and make sure we have the best roster when we get to training camp.
Now, what was it like at the draft? I think there have been some people who thought you could be in playing Buffalo. We didn't know how it was going to turn out. Were you paying any attention to the Bills draft while the Panthers draft is unfolding?
To be honest, no. You know, somebody brought up about how they drafted a tackle or something when in front of us. But to be honest with you, I didn't even realize who had traded for who. When it gets close on the clock, Adam, we're already looking at players. We're not really paying attention to what teams are picking. We're basically looking at, all right, we're five picks away, we're four picks away. Yeah. These are the guys that we like, and we're discussing it in the room, and we have some younger scouting assistants that are hollering out the names. I'm not even hearing if it's the Eagles, the Bears, the Lions, whoever. So to be honest with you, at the end of each day, I would kind of look at each team's roster to see who they got, and, you know, I peeked at theirs, you know, like a lot of them, but nothing other than that.
Now, your team did have, in Carolina, Tre'Davious White very high up on the board, very high up on the board. So you had to be pretty happy that you inherit this young cornerback from LSU.
Yeah, we like Tre'Davious. You know, what's fortunate, Adam, is I went down with one of our DB coaches, and we did a private workout with Tre'Davious and took him out to lunch with Jamal Adams and got to know both those young men. And he is a great young man. He's humble. He's a hard worker. He's versatile. He's going to be a great pro, and just look forward to getting to know the young man a little bit more now that I'm in Buffalo.
Yeah, I remember speaking to somebody in your organization the day before the draft, and they were saying, boy, you think Tre'Davious White will be there in the second round for us? And I said, no chance. And they said, really? Yeah. I said, no, that's not going to happen. And, of course, turned out to be your future team that would pick him in the first round. So good for you there.
It's funny how it all works out. We had a lot of guys that we were asking, you know, about who could be there, because it was a really talented draft, especially the bottom of one through the second round.
And I'm sure you've been asked this before, but what is your assessment of the team's quarterback position today?
Well, obviously, we're looking at all of them. You know, they got Tyrod here. I thought it was a good move that, you know, I don't know who navigated the move, but I don't know if it was Sean or it was Doug. But I thought it was a good move to keep Tyrod here and let him keep competing. And I thought he did some good things. He's athletic. Obviously, he can make plays with his feet. I think he throws the deep ball well. And he's a competitor. I met him this morning. Great kid. We're in here working out. But obviously, they drafted Peterman. So I'm getting, you know, I know him from the college stuff a little bit. We weren't in the quarterback market in Carolina, so didn't study him overly. But anyway, we're, you know, it's like anything, Adam. We're going to evaluate every position. You know, and obviously it's a quarterback league, so we'll definitely have our eyes there.
And Brandon, you spent 19 years with the Panthers, 9 as the assistant GM and director of football operations. What will you miss most about being in Carolina as you now transition to your new job and life in Buffalo?
Yeah, it's the people. And, you know, from John Coleman, who is the guy who greets you when you walk in the door, to, you know, whoever in the staff, the equipment guys, the video guys. I mean, just there's been a lot of continuity, you know, all the way up to Ron Rivera and Dave Gettleman. And Ron and I have a great relationship and outside of the office. And just all those things, you'll miss the people. But thank God we got cell phones to text and call, and we'll keep in touch that way.
You bring up cell phones and text. Was there any one message that you got when you got this general manager job that meant something a little bit more to you?
You know, I got so many, Adam. I don't want to say one, but just like high school coaches and you know, Marty Herney blew my phone up immediately when he heard the news. It's just he was like a proud dad. I could tell, you know, when I answered. My phone was blowing up, so I could barely answer. But it's just it was so many things. Ron Rivera wrote me just an awesome note. Actually, almost got me emotional reading it. He slipped it in my bag, and I didn't see it until I had left the stadium for the last time. So it was just so many different things. It's emotional, but I'm very excited and looking forward to this new phase to get the Buffalo Bills back to the promised land.
Without compromising the exact contents of that letter, what was the message in that note, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, I think Ron was just saying, hey, Beaner, we've had a lot of success together, and you were a big part of it. And he was just thanking me for you know, Ron's so humble. When he would win a Coach of the Year, he would send me a text and say, Beaner, you're just as much a part of this as me. And it's just he's one of those inclusive guys, and I want to model what he modeled to me to the people that will be working with and for me.
Hey, Brandon, I really appreciate taking some time today. Congratulations on the job, and lots of luck with the new gig there in Buffalo.
Thanks so much for having me, Adam. Appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you, Brandon.